Everyone, my name is Ryan, and I was a kids' church teacher for 10 years, so I love a good object lesson. The mystery. Nice Dying to Live cup. I did, from the get-go, just want to say there's a lot of great preachers around Dying to Live. There's a lot of giants that have gone before me, and I don't class myself as a giant. The Will Mareers and the Andrew Sellies, the guys who have really taken hold of this concept of Dying to Live. I haven't started preaching yet, so don't start the timer. It's a disclaimer. I wanted to say, guys like Roland and Brett, the sound guys, AV, the kids' church workers, people who come serve coffee, are all individuals who are sacrificing in some way so that you can sit here and feel part of. And I just want to say, each and every one of those people, and this isn't part of my preach, I'm wearing longs today, so it's a long share. But every one of those people has sacrificed a portion of convenience so that you can receive the blessing of. Every one of those people serving today in church are sacrificing, because it isn't the most convenient thing in the world. I can tell long stories about that. Okay. So I'm not competing with the Dying to Live preachers. What I am going to say is my title is Be Okay with Losing Your Rights. Be okay with losing your rights. So I'm going to ask us all to read from Luke 17. I'm not going to put it up, so just listen to me. I want you to concentrate on a very specific verse. But this isn't it. But I wanted to prepare our hearts. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met with him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Jesus heals 10 lepers, but only one of them truly hears. And I do believe that's something for us here today, something of a heart condition. You see, hearing and seeing the truth transforms lives. But only if we allow the renewal of the Spirit and honor the infilling of this new Spirit in us. Father, I'm praying for this message today. That this message here in front of me has seeds for everyone's life here today. I pray that our lives are never the same again. I pray for a deep shaking. I pray for the words spoken today has a deep, healthy, radical growth, and that your kingdom is able to advance. Amen. So our real text for today is Matthew 16, verse 25. Everybody should note, can you put the scripture up? For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Many of us know this scripture. The challenge, like with the lepers, many will hear my voice, hear these words, even read it, but without the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, you will go nowhere. And like I alluded to earlier, it was only the one leper who actually saw that day. Only one that was truly healed. Most of us sitting here today have chosen Christianity, yes? Have you chosen Christianity? Let me see a hand. You've accepted Jesus into your lives as our Lord and Savior. But some may still not have consummated that marriage. When I use the word consummate, I mean having given ourselves to Him with the trust and reckless abandon that we have all been designed for. The terms and conditions in the kingdom, our kingdom values, dictate actually a life of selflessness. The Matthew 16, 25 verse we just read, also known as the dying to live part, us as Josh Jenner should know so well, our default, however, too often, is in a calamity or under pressure, we find ourselves on our knees quite easily, but shortly after, find ourselves back in our selfish ways again, making statements like, life is hard, work, family, church commitments, balancing life. And this morning we heard about balancing the budget. Rather than giving our all to Him, rather than submitting to the source of all real life with joyful obedience, perhaps we find ourselves grumbling and complaining about our circumstance. Maybe we questioned Him at the various intersections of our life. Tonight's a good example, three congregations coming to one. Are you at one of those intersections tonight? Why does, for some, does it appear radical? I'm talking about salvation here, and for others, not. Are our eyes open? Or have our hearts become calloused in some way or another? Should we be concerned? Now, me personally, I've had to hear this message quite a few times for it to be deposited. An interesting point raised a verse before, this famous dying to live on a mug scripture is in verse 24. Can we put that up? Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then he says, for whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And we've most probably, like I said, heard the scripture many times before. At the very least, you should know the scripture. Taking up your cross, what does that even mean? For many of us, the cross has become a symbol of God's grace and His love for us. Very easy to take up a posture on your knees in worship, for example. And the cross is the story of redemption. We wear crosses around our necks. What would Jesus do? Bracelets? We hang it on our walls. Perhaps we tattoo it on our skins. Make cool mugs, t-shirts, and then declare ourselves Christians. But I wanted to say, in the context of the scripture, did you know that the person who takes up his cross from a biblical perspective is a person that has been sentenced to death? It's a pause moment. Back then, the cross would have been a symbol of shame. You would have been hung naked on the cross for hours and hours. It was also a symbol of suffering. The cross was designed to actually prolong your suffering for as long as possible. What would you do if that was you? Visualize it. Would you knowingly pick up your cross at this point? If this is what it meant for you, would you walk with your cross to that place where they would crucify you? Under Roman law, as you took up this cross, your life was considered forfeit. That means you no longer had any rights. The second you picked up that cross, you were no longer a citizen of Rome. And so, as you walking to your place of execution carrying your cross, people could do anything they wanted to do to you without any reprisal or repercussion. Not only was it a super heavy object to carry, but particularly if you had been scourged, that awful whip thing. I don't know if you've seen The Passion of Christ. If you were scourged, you'd be in a state of shock, in absolute trauma, suffering massive blood loss. And you would have been in extreme pain. Humiliation was also waiting for you as you made this journey, people spitting on you, flinging animal manure at you. I have it on good authority that some historians tell us that in some cases, the criminals were actually relieved to get to their place of hanging. Such was the horror of their walk there. And then finally, death, when it came. It's not one person who faced the cross, faced crucifixion, that did not find death. No one lived. And of all the images available to the Son of God, this is the image he gives us, what it means to follow him. Jesus is saying we have to yield in everything to him. Everything we are. Our identity, our rights to have a voice, to be heard, our preferences, our likes, our dislikes, opinions and criticisms, our ambitions, even our relationships. We have to give them to him. And can I say, this is the best thing we can do. We're no good at being God and handing the keys over to the one who knows what he's doing is a blessing. Absolute blessing. Death by crucifixion was the result of the manner in which the condemned man hung from the cross and not the traumatic injury caused by nailing and the subsequent blood loss. Hanging from the cross resulted in a painful process of asphyxiation, not being able to breathe, in which the two sets of muscles used for breathing, both the intercostal, the chest muscles, and the diaphragm, became progressively weakened over time. In time, sometimes a long time, you would eventually die through the inability to breathe. I read this in my study this morning and I had to stay. Oh man, with regards to my choice in becoming a Christian, this is surely going to be a radical, costly change. Surely. I wanted to say, if Jesus has slotted into your life very smoothly and perfectly, and you find your Christian life convenient, I'm not so sure you have this Jesus in your life. I wanted to ask, what are you still holding on to? I wanted to make this uncomfortably personal. What are you protecting from Jesus? A relationship, a plan, a habit. Maybe it's your version of what church should look like. A dream, a version of your future. What about being vulnerable? Submission to leadership. What part of your life is still saying, Jesus can have everything except this? And this is the very place today he's pointing to. Following Jesus turns everything upside down for all of us. No one escapes it. I want to read again from verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying, whatever else happens in this life, from this point, you don't come out worse off. It's never a bad idea. Jesus is always up front with the cost. That's why I love him. He always gives you this undisguised invitation. He never hides anything. It's going to be difficult. In fact, he is telling us in very clear English, it's going to feel like you are losing your life. That's what he says. At some point, if not already, Jesus is going to find something sacred to you. And he's either going to take it, or at the very least, he's going to touch it. And he's going to say, we need to talk about this. Something you're going to feel is a non-negotiable. Jesus is going to say, we need to talk about this. And when he does this, it'll feel like losing your life. But I want to say it's going to be okay. Because deep down, you're going to feel, or at the very least, in hindsight, looking back, you will know that Jesus is being unfathomably good My wife always likes me to make this practical. So what did I do to make my way through this hard life so far? What does that look like practically? I just wrote a few points here. It's not conclusive. But I wrote here, forgiving when my pride screamed don't. I wrote here, obeying when it costs me dearly. I had to let God start redirecting my plans. I say yes often, especially when it's inconvenient. And lastly, I had to let go of my various identities. And by identities, I mean the one built on a model of success. I was 25 years in marine and coastal engineering before picking this. My need for approval. I had quite a harsh dad. Performance-orientated father. Sports. And then my identity of security. I'm going to make sure I provide. I'm going to make sure I keep care. I'm going to make sure. I had to let go of that. The Bible tells me it should look like Paul. Galatians 2 verse 20. I'm not going to put the scripture up. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the receiving of the good news. There is the blessing that comes from following Jesus. And there's a lot of blessings that have come to me as I've chosen to follow him. My salvation for one. The other one is eternity for me is very, very real. I have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. I don't care. When I go, I'm going to miss you guys. But I'm going to be in eternity. Forever. I'm not going to have to worry about this vessel anymore. Forgiveness is now complete in me. I don't have a problem with forgiving anymore. I try my hardest to forgive within 30 seconds. I have peace with God. I have the blessing of being part of a new community in His church. That's why I'm so excited, in awe of what the Lord is doing here with us, the three of us together here. I didn't have that opportunity a few weeks ago. And I have the blessing of my new identity, one in which I have found what it is to abide in Him and Him in me. Jesus has given me this new identity. The blessing in itself is Jesus himself. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I don't know what your thoughts and dreams are, not all of you. What pride takes up residence in your heart, what disappointments you hold on to. I know very little about everybody's financial or work situation. I know a few of you, but I don't know all of you about your challenges with relationships, or even know what your future plans may be. I don't know what's keeping you up at night in fear and anxiety, but I do know one thing. Scripture says Jesus is the bread of life. Actually, Jesus himself says, I am the bread of life. If you know him, you can never disappoint him. This is the greatest gift we have. Friends, Christ has risen. And that in itself is enough to celebrate from this moment to every moment forward. There's no greater love. I want to land. Jesus is not saying, give up your life. That would be too hard. There's an invitation in this. He's saying, would you exchange your life, Donnie, for his, the one he's got for you? It's a divine exchange. He's saying, give me your small, fragile, self-centered life. And I'll give you my eternal one. Tonight's about being made right with God. Altar calls are always the hardest. I believe tonight. So if you've heard this message for the first time, if you were sold what I refer to as a sentimental gospel, not the real one, not the truth, and you want to respond to Christ now as if it's your first time, I'm going to make space for that. I'm going to go over there in the corner. And I'd love you to come to me, and I'd love to pray you into this beautiful eternity vision, plan, kingdom that I know about. I know the Creator. I know His Son, and I walk with the power of His Holy Spirit in me. And it is available to each and every one of you. Don't delay grace. So I'm going to be there in the left-hand corner. You're right. But for everybody else, our response tonight, I don't know how to word it well. I had the picture of the man who helped Jesus carry his cross. And that was Simon of Cyrene. For those of you who didn't know, Cyrene is a North African town. And Simon was a passerby, and he was actually compelled by the Roman soldiers to carry the heavy cross after Jesus began to falter. Now, there's a lot of theology around Simon, but I'm a simple guy, and what was glaringly obvious to me is that although Simon was forced or coerced to do it, everybody stood by. Today is different. I didn't want to say you, I didn't want to compel you today to make you do anything. But you have been given a choice. On that day, only one man carried that cross on his own free will. Jesus Christ. And I believe with everything in me preparing this word that he's asking you today. When I say you, I'm looking at each individual. And I'm asking you. This isn't an altar call. This is a response. Will you choose to do the same? Of your own free will. I wanted to say is today, some of us, this is the last day. The last moment you had was the last moment that you had trying to negotiate with God. Stop thinking or saying, if I follow you, God, if, well, I'll trust you when, God, I'll surrender once, .. And start saying, Jesus, you are Lord, not me. I choose to give you my small, fragile, self-managed life in exchange for your eternal one. I want to make right with you, Father, today. Was it engineered? We all knelt in worship. There's a time goes past, or a time in the past, where those who gave themselves to their Lord would take a knee. Don't know if everybody at the back can see. I'm creaky. Sorry, I'm not trying to be theatrical. It caught me off guard. But that's the response. It's not whether you want to be saved or maybe you want to recommit your life. I love the idea of creating beachheads in our life. It is another war theme. I don't know what's going on with that. But this life must be about a war. When you take a knee in a moment, you create a beachhead from which to operate out of. It's a place of strength. It's a place where the supply lines come in and bring provision. Give me a second. I don't think these are my right glasses, Trey. Can somebody come look here for me for Philippians 1 verse 4? Iron sharpening iron. Thank you. Good that we are able to pause. Salah. That's 8. Philemon 1, 8 to 14. Paul says, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to exhort to you. I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. I'm walking very carefully here. I do not want to ask you up front and you just come like lemmings. I want you to come up front because you really do believe in the truth of the word that was brought today. You believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. Not by any of your will, just by your choice to take a knee to the King. So, would you join me up front? If that is you. Just going to take a quiet moment. Holy Spirit would have stirred something in you to surrender, to hand over, and then to receive. But the warning is not to close your hand around any of it. So we only know and see in part. But what He has created is perfect. Our author. He knows the beginning from the end. And that includes everything in between. And He is not surprised, ever. Thank you, Lord. It is my absolute pleasure to serve at your crown as Lord over my life. Take a knee.